Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Tim. I appreciate your help tonight. If you will, open your Bibles to the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 17. And when you have found that, if you would please stand for the reading of the Lord's Word. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Would you bow your heads for just a moment tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your august throne. And I stand here tonight, Lord, in need of that power that comes from above, that anoints not only the Word of God, but the preacher that you've called to bring it. That anointing that when you speak the Word, it breaks the yoke. That anointing that when the Word of truth comes through the vessel, the eyes are opened and the ears hear what the Lord is saying, what the Spirit is saying unto the church in these last days. God, I pray that the same anointing that you put on me when we put this together would flow in this house tonight. That when we leave, we will indeed be different than the way that we came in through these doors. And only you can accomplish this by the power of your Holy Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' mighty and holy name. And everyone said amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. We read all of those scriptures, but I want to focus in on but one phrase in the entirety of that body of scriptures that we just read. And that's what I have taken to title this word to you tonight. Be filled with the Spirit. As I stand here tonight, I know that I must bear my soul. See, the way it works is God calls a man to preach his gospel. God anoints that man. God gives that man the word and he gives that man the truth. And then it is then the responsibility of that man to keep himself before the Lord, to hear that word of truth and to receive that anointing, and to deliver his soul to the people whomsoever God will send him, to deliver that word of truth. As I stand before you tonight, I assure you I am not responsible for the outcome. I assure you that I have no manipulative control over how the Holy Spirit is going to impart this word into your spirit. But I know this one thing, It was a number of weeks ago that the Lord began to move upon this preacher's heart with this word, and I don't think I've ever seen it in quite in this light the way the Lord is going to bring it to you tonight. And I just sincerely hope and pray that you have come with you. I almost said before he started service tonight, hey, next time I'm going to preach, tell him there's going to be food again. We've got a good crowd here tonight. And I'd like to think they came for the preaching. And either that or we've got a house full of Free Food Baptists. I don't know which. Some of you will get that later. But as I stand here tonight, and I want to choose my words carefully, I'm tired. Tired of empty Christianity. I am tired of counterfeit spirituality. I am tired of programmed services. And I'm tired of denominational thinking and interpretations. I gotta tell you, I don't know what's going on in their minds. Tired of watching and listening to believers who are struggling to find answers to prayers and wondering where God is in all of this stuff and why He can't be heard from. And I say that to you tonight because though I'm tired of these things, I am filled with a burning hunger, desire, and thirst for a sovereign move of God. And I stand here at great wonderment as to why we are not seeing it, though we often pray about it. Recently, I was reminded that the Scriptures contain every answer to every problem that has ever been known to man. And I want to say that again. The Holy Scriptures of God contain every answer to every problem that is known to man. I was the other day listening to another preacher minister the Word, and while he was preaching, he made a statement in his message. And the moment that I heard it, the Spirit of the Lord literally, I don't know if you've ever been arrested by the Holy Spirit, but you just sit there in a sort of a numb state kind of, and you can't move, you can't get up, you can't go do something else. The Spirit of God has you arrested, and I could feel, if I can say it that way, more sensing His august presence as I sat there on my place on the couch, and I could feel almost like the Holy Spirit just sat right down next to me and clasped His arms around my arms and my shoulders, and I could not move. This phrase that I have heard any number of times in my life, and yet when I heard it this night, I don't know per se what the man went on to preach, because the Holy Spirit came in and arrested me right there, and I heard it with almost like a trumpet sounding in the recesses of my soul, as the Spirit of God would say, "Be filled with the Spirit." And I know we've heard that a lot, but I want to repeat it to you tonight as much as the Lord will allow me, and say it because I've got something pent up inside and I'm not sure how to get it out except to open my mouth and let the Spirit of the Lord minister the Word of God. But I'll say to you again here tonight, and it won't be the last time, be filled with the Spirit. Over the next few weeks, the Spirit of the Lord would open this Word to me in a different way than I've ever heard it before. And I want to bring that way to you tonight. I had no idea at the time that the Lord was bringing this Word that it would land on Pentecost Sunday. But I just have to believe the Lord knows what He's doing. I won't have you stand, but while you're sitting there, I want you to open up your Bibles, if you will, to the New Testament book of Acts chapter 2. I want to read just a few verses, and then maybe I'll peruse a little further down Just kind of stay with me if you will. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each one of them. First of all, let me declare unto you that it had been 10 days since the disciples, over 500 of them that were gathered there at the mountain when the Lord ascended before them up into the heavens and left them a word. And He said unto them, I want you to go and I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He was talking about the promise of the Father, as we well know it now, the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit in a way that they had never known before. And I want to submit to you tonight that just as much as the New Testament disciples and believers needed to go and wait for the promise of the Father, as you and I sit here tonight, and I know that the majority of us have already received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, but that's not exactly what I'm talking about here tonight. But just as much as they needed to go and wait on God to be filled with the promise that Jesus said was going to come, you and I tonight, just as much as we have heard the same word, need to make sure that we are setting aside our time to go and wait before the Lord until we receive the same power and the same dunamis that came from on high and touch our lives before we go out and attempt to do anything in the name of God. We read these scriptures and we've heard them so many times that it's almost like muscle memory, and we read them and yet the words of this great word do not sink down into our spirit. I'm going to say some things tonight that, well, I don't know, they might make you mad. But I guess I really don't care. I'll let the Lord worry about you getting upset. Too often times when we have Pentecost Sunday, too often times when we have scheduled, programmed revivals, too often times when we have special speakers come, and inevitably somewhere in those mixes there is the Acts chapter 2 repetition that is given. And we read it all and we're enthralled with it and we hear it, but like muscle memory it just goes on around us. But I want to bring this to your mind. The Bible says that they were all in one place, in one accord. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it, listen to this word, and it filled. When we leave this place tonight, you're going to know what the term filled means. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And the Bible says there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. I'm already running into problems, because too much of the Pentecostal world has built itself on the foundational scriptures of Acts chapter 2. And we read through these verses and we get to the last part of it. And it says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak in other tongues. And for some reason that I just can't figure out, we stall out. The problem with most of our churches in these last days, and I mean the Pentecostal world, how many of you know I'm talking to believers tonight? Let's not lose sight of that. You can't receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You can't receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit without first being saved. We touched on that this morning. The problem with most of our churches is we have stopped at the part where it says, and they spoke in other tongues. And we have built shrines there as if it is the pinnacle of all spirituality. Speaking in tongues is the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it is of God. And as powerful as it is only the door handle. I need you to hear me. It is only the door handle to another supernatural room in which dwells what the Bible calls the fullness of the Spirit. In this room, we come to find some incredibly wonderful things. Things that honestly, in the modern day church, we don't know a whole lot about. And those things that we find, I'll remind you again, they are found in the Scriptures. For it is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we find that there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit that are in this supernatural room to which speaking in tongues is only the door handle. And the Scripture says, for to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. In Galatians 5:22, we find that there are fruits of the Spirit just the same as there are gifts. There's 9 of them. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Are you hearing these? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I know that you, like me, when you look out at the modern day church of today, what we find is we find that we are anemic spiritually. We are suffering below the spiritual poverty line in the kingdom of God because we are not going any further than the shrine that we have built on the speaking in other tongues. These are all given by the Holy Spirit. But it goes on further than that, because when you see them spelled out in the Scriptures, they're not only given by the Holy Spirit. Hear my words clearly tonight. I know I feel like I beat a dead horse around here sometimes, but they are also controlled by the Holy Spirit. They are also manifested by the Holy Spirit. I gotta say it again. They are given by the Holy Spirit. No preacher can give them to you. I don't care how spiritual he thinks he is. He cannot give them to you. No preacher can call anybody else to preach. I don't care if it's his sons. There is no pass me down spirituality. You are either called of God or you're called of men. The gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit are given by the Holy Spirit. And even though they are gifts and they are fruits to you, you can never possess them. You can never possess them because they possess you. I'm going to say that again. You can never possess the gifts of the Spirit because the gifts of the Spirit are designed to possess you. I'm after something. You'll get it here in a minute. I cannot stress to you the untold damage that has been done to the body of Christ because men cannot seem to yield and they feel like they have to control everything. This has hindered. I need you to hear this clearly. This is what the Lord put on my heart. This has hindered the work and the flow of the Holy Spirit, not only in their lives, but in their churches. And this is why we've been asking God, Why is there so little power? Why does everything seem to hinge on feigned words that never come to fruition? Why is there so few prayers answered of God's people? Hear me clearly. I want to settle this in your heart and your mind forever. God's gift to man
was Jesus, through whom we have salvation. Jesus' gift to man is the Holy Ghost, by which we receive power. I want to stay there a second. By the Holy Spirit. What did he say? Was it Acts 1? Verse 8. But you shall receive power. Exercise with me. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you shall receive power. I wish you'd have said it like you meant it. But you shall receive power, listen, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And the hinge pin there is the Bible said that you, the believer, the one that has said, I've accepted Christ into my heart, I am now saved, I walk with the Lord, but the Bible says that you shall receive power. But we, how many of you, I'm going to date myself a little bit, how many of you remember back, I think it was in the 80s when I believe it was Wendy's that had their little commercial on there, and two little old ladies come up to the counter and they got a hamburger and it just wasn't quite what they thought it was going to be, and they look at the guy behind the counter and they say, where's the beef? I just feel like that as I stand here tonight, as I look out across the Pentecostal church world, and I'm asking them, where's the beef? Where's the beef? You talk about revival. You talk about the Holy Ghost. You fake spiritual gifts. You fake acquiescence to the things of God. You fake prophecy. You fake your callings. You fake everything else. I'm looking at them tonight and I'm asking myself, where's the beef? Where's the power? Where's the true Spirit of God? Because as I look at it and as we see the fruits that are coming from all of that garbage, we're not seeing the beef. But you shall receive power. It is God's intended purpose that you and I, as believers in Christ, receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus also said, the things that I do, and greater than these things shall you do. Did you hear that? Jesus said, the things that I do, and even greater than these things shall you do, because I go unto my Father. He said, but I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send another. I need you to hear me tonight. The Holy Spirit of God was intended for the believer. Lock, stock, and barrel, the Holy Spirit of God was intended for the believer. The one who says, I'm saved. We heard it this morning. I'm saved. Brought to mind a few songs while I was sitting in the back there. Oh, I'm saved, and I know that I am. I'm saved, and I know that I am. Thank God I'm saved, and I know that I am. I'm so glad I know that I am. But until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you can never come to know the next phrase of that song. I'm satisfied, and I know that I am. I'm satisfied, and I know that I am. I'm satisfied, and I know that I am. I'm so glad I know that I am. Oh, I'm filled. If I don't stop. And I know that I am, I'm filled. And I know that I am, thank God I'm filled. And I know that I am, I'm so glad I know that I am. These things that I do, and greater than these things shall you do. Because He was going to send the Holy Spirit. In verse 8 we read there,
I want to read it again. I don't want to get it. You shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Listen to this word. Unto me. He didn't say go into Samaria and Judea and all these other throughout the uttermost part of the earth and be a witness for me. He said, be a witness unto me. Can I tell you tonight what the Lord is looking for in you? We read it there at the beginning of Ephesians 5 and 17. Be not ignorant. There's a whole message right there. Stop being ignorant. Be wise concerning what the will of God is. I've come tonight to tell you what the will of God is. And I've come tonight to tell you why we lack power and why we have so many that go. And even though they pray, and they do, they pray. I know you do. But we have so few answers. You didn't know somebody was going to come into this place tonight and tell you that you're not as filled as you think you are. I'm going to say it again. There's a difference between the initial physical evidence of speaking in other tongues, and thank God for it. And I will always remind you, as long as I have breath, it's as the Spirit gives the utterance. Not yourself. Stick it back in your pocket and give it to someone. Don't even give it to someone else. You didn't do them any good either. As the Spirit gives the utterance. But there's a difference between the initial physical evidence of the Holy Spirit and being filled. Did you hear me? Oh, Brother Cooley, what do you mean? I thought coming in here tonight, if you had the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you spoke in other tongues, I thought you were filled. Nope. The Spirit of God was given to us that we might have power. I know the enemy likes to downplay that word because we are a people that genuinely thrive on power. Oddly enough, we're thriving on the wrong power. Because the power that is given to the believer is not the power over other people. Did you hear me? It's not power over businesses. We're not brought into this thing and we don't receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit so that we can make better financial business decisions than the next guy. I'll tell you in this place tonight, and I say it on faith, that the house of God is not a business. I don't care if business goes on about it. We are not a business. We are but a conduit through which God may flow to bring His Word and to bring the power of His Holy Spirit to a people that are lost and dying without God and without power and without faith and without understanding. And that's what we are here for. We are not here to see how big we can build our business. God did not call us to fill churches. I know that goes against the grain of everything that the church says today. They put on their conferences and they bring in their big name preachers and they go through all of this so they might teach us how to build a big church. We don't need to build a big church. We just need to be obedient unto the Lord. We are given this power of the Holy Spirit so that we might have a life of power. Did you hear that word? Not a moment. Not a season. But we are to have a life of power. We are to have a life of power to walk like Jesus walked. That's why we're witnesses unto Him. You see, the Lord is looking for Himself in you and I. Some of you are going to have to dwell on that for a while. The Lord is looking for Himself in you and I.
We are given power to walk like Jesus walked, to talk like Jesus talked, to live as Jesus lived, with power to overcome, power to walk holy, power to resist the devil, power to overcome temptations, power to rid people of demon spirits, and the power of living with a changed mindset. Not the struggling saints that we see today. Scripture tells me that when we come to Christ, behold, all old things are passed away. I'm going to say it again. Because the devil doesn't like you. See, he likes the fact that you're still struggling with besetting sin. He likes the fact that you're still struggling to get over whatever your vice is. And I don't know what it is. It ain't my business. But God knows what it is. And He sent me with this word to tell you, it is not for the child of God who has been saved through the blood of Christ Jesus to walk around being defeated constantly by the power of sin in their life. His power was strong enough to break the back of sin and to be sure that by the power of the Holy Ghost, as He fills us, that we do not render ourselves slaves under the power of sin. All old things are... I don't go where I used to go. I don't talk the way I used to. Don't tell me you're struggling with it or I'm questioning your salvation. Don't say that, brother. You don't ever... I'm telling you what the Word says. I don't talk the way I used to talk. I don't do the things I used to do. I don't want to just say that I don't do them anymore. There's a change. Listen to me. There's a change that takes place inside. What change is that? I don't want to go where I used to go. No, you need to hear me. I don't want to do the things I used to do. I don't want to talk the way that I used to talk. I don't want to mix it up the way I used to mix it up. Why? Because I'm not just saved, but I have received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you know, I constantly hear people say, well, Brother Cooley, my prayers aren't being answered. And didn't the Lord say that He would give you the desires of your heart? Oh, what a confused, mixed up people we have become. When the Lord said that He would grant you the desires of your heart, you're supposed to be a believer in Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be... Listen, it is not optional to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't care what the Baptists say. I don't care what the non-denominational people say. It was not given as an option. Jesus told the 500 dwelling there or standing around the mountain, you go back and you tarry and you stay there until you be endued with power from on high. He did not give them the option. Oh, I know that there was over 300 of them that decided they didn't need that option. But the 120 that took God at His word, thank God that the day came 10 days later when the power of the Holy Ghost came and it filled their lives. And that is what turned the world upside down. It's the power of the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer that turns your world upside down. Before the crucifixion, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. That is the worst sin. Listen to me, it's worse than murder. It's worse than sexual deviation. It's worse than anything you can think of to deny the Lord. Why is that the worst? Jesus said that if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. What is that? That's a one-way ticket to hell. Peter denied Him. But in between there, Peter had a come to Jesus moment. And that old nature that before made him deny his only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was done away with. I got to say this. He was emptied of... I'm going to say it differently.
As you all sit here tonight, you're full of it. Whatever it is. You're full of it. What are you talking about? I told the Lord the other day, I said, God, so many of your people that are coming to me, and they're wondering where you are. And they're full of anxiety. And they're full of depression. They're full of anger. Listen, they're full of lusts of all kinds. They're full of greed. Everything is gimme, 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 gimme. And we're wondering why our prayers aren't being answered like they should be. We're wondering why we do not even resemble the New Testament church. They had a power that all we can do is feign about. But it doesn't have to be that way. Amen. You see, Peter came to a place of repentance. You might as well get used to hearing that word because it's a fundamental part of being filled with the Spirit of God. Let me make a statement. God doesn't fill anybody partway. Have you noticed that about God? God is an all or nothing God. Well, I know people don't like that. That's why they're still struggling with besetting sins, because they think they can have their salvation and they think they can speak in other tongues, and because that's the pinnacle of everything, therefore they, you know, it's okay. They have grown comfortable with struggling with their sin. It's a fool's mess. Don't ever get comfortable with darkness. Do you hear this, preacher? Listen to me, child of God. Especially in the days that are coming down the road. Listen to me clearly. Don't ever get comfortable with darkness. Because Jesus is the light of the world. And He has come. And because He went away and He sent another, the Holy Spirit has also come to destroy the works of the devil. If it is the mission of the Holy Spirit to fill you to walk with power and to live with power, why then are you struggling with something that He came to destroy? Why are you then comfortable with something He came to destroy? You understand that statement alone would probably empty 3/4 of the churches in America today. They are comfortable with what He came to destroy. God never partially fills anybody. You must be emptied. And there's only one way to empty oneself. And that is to come before the Lord. Hallelujah. With a broken and a contrite spirit. And repent before the Lord. Brother Cooley, I just can't seem to shake this depression. That's a lie. I'm going to say it again. It's a lie. Don't tell me you can't shake depression. If you can't shake depression, it's because you're filled with something other than His Spirit. If you can't shake lustful thoughts, it's because you're filled with something else other than His Spirit. If you can't shake the urge to put one of them cancer sticks between your fingers and put it up to your mouth, or if you have to pick up a can of beer or a glass of wine for you intelligent people, let alone the hard drink. And if you're still struggling with that, it's because you're filled with something other than the Holy Spirit. Don't you know that God has come to deliver you from the power of alcohol and the power of nicotine? Don't you know that the Holy Ghost is available for you to be filled with so that it might destroy the works of the devil in you, so that it might destroy that seed of lying because you can't stop lying? He's come to destroy that lust that rules your mind and defeats you at every turn. The power of the Holy Ghost can destroy the works of the devil in you if you will be filled with Him. I'll say it again. We come to church week in and week out and week in and week out and week in and week out until the years roll by. And we are satisfied to say that I'm saved. And we're satisfied to say that I've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as if that's all there is to receive. But when we look at your life, we don't see the gifts of the Spirit. And when we look at your life, we don't see the fruits. Listen, I'm tired of people saying, don't judge me. And I'm tired of people saying that we ain't got no business judge. You know, the Bible says you'll know a tree by the fruit that it bears. So don't tell me there's no judgment. You get up in your fancy churches and you preach love, 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 love. And as if that's all there is to God. And I want you to know, standing here tonight, that God is love. There is no doubt in my mind. But you need to understand what true love is. True love is not going to turn its back on sin. True love is not going to turn its back on darkness. True love is not going to turn its back on the evil that constantly presides over your life. But the true love of God, the Bible says that the Lord chastens them whom He loves. And if you think that God is just a God of love, then you don't know Him, because He's also a God of justice and of judgment. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God loves judgment. Only when we are filled with the Spirit of God can we have the lofty expectations of seeing God move in a mighty way. I want to say that again. Only when we are filled with His Spirit can we have, and that's a powerful word, listen to me, expectations. Most of the time we pray before the Lord, and we pray like we used to do when we were saying something we didn't really believe back when we were kids, and we'd cross our fingers. That's how we pray. That's awful harsh. Yeah, Nancy, it is. Suck it up. It's going to get harder. Because the God that sees all and the God that knows all has sent me here to tell you that the reason that you're not getting the prayers answered that you wanted answered in the way that you wanted them, and the reason that you're not experiencing the power of a Spirit-filled life is because you're not really filled with His Spirit. You heard me. Don't think this preacher didn't take an inventory in himself when he heard that word. I'm telling you right now. We all have little things that we like to hold back over here and over there, even if it's in some little dark corner in our mind that you know, okay, God didn't really answer that prayer like I thought He should have. And yet we hero on and we trudge on, and we're gonna work. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit of God's going to keep bringing you back to that and bringing you back to it and bringing you back to it until you get victory over the fact that you thought in your mind that God didn't answer the prayer that you thought He should have answered in the way that you wanted it answered. I don't know who wrote the song, but a number of years ago, Some writer wrote the song 4 days late, talking about Jesus coming for the death of Lazarus. He was 4 days late. But the Bible said He was right on time. We're after something. You see, when we're filled with anything other than the Holy Spirit, He's late. But when we're filled with the Spirit, oh, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. On-time God. Yes, He is. May not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time. Because He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. I just threw that in for free. It didn't cost you anything. Church, if you want God to answer your prayers the way He answered the prayers of the New Testament church. How did He answer their prayers? I'm glad you asked. My watch says I got time. By the way, my watch always says I got time. Peter and John were being persecuted because they went about preaching Jesus. And they were caught in the market square one day, and they were hauled in before the high priest and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they were being threatened and they were being slapped around before they were released. But while they were in there, the Spirit-filled church got together. I felt that all the way down to the back of my heels. The Spirit-filled church got together. And they began to pray. And I want you to notice what they... You can read it in Acts chapter 4, I believe it is. You can read it. They did not pray for their release. You know what they prayed for? God, give them great boldness. You see, that's the difference. You and I would be over there sweating bullets. Oh, God, turn our buddies loose. No. They said, we're Spirit-filled. And though they are being persecuted, Lord, what we would like You to do is we would like You to give them great boldness to go on doing what they were doing when they were hauled in the first place. That's what I mean when I say that God's thoughts are not our thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways. Because He doesn't think like we do. And I want you to know that the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer does not think after the way that fleshly men think. And while you're praying for them to be delivered, those that are Spirit-filled are praying that God would give them more power, that God would give them greater boldness to preach and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ to people who needed to hear it. They were not asking for something that would satisfy their flesh, but they were asking for something by way of the Holy Ghost that had filled them, and it changed the way that they prayed. And the Bible says that while they yet prayed, that the whole entire ground on which they stood began to shake and began to tremble. What are you saying? I'm saying you want to put hell on notice. You want to put demons and devils to flight. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Get full of the Spirit of God and begin to pray as the Spirit would have you pray. And the ground on which you stand, I tell you, will begin to shake and will begin to tremble under the power of God in the life of a believer. I'm preaching better than you're responding. We heard it this morning in Mark chapter 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they will cast out devils. In My name they will speak with new tongues. In My name they will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do you hear that tonight? They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When we are filled with His Spirit, it gives us divine expectation that when we pray, we will receive. That when we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. That we will speak with new tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance.
And that our lives will be an open demonstration with evidences of being a true Spirit-filled believer. So I say again, be filled with the Spirit.
Galatians 5 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not... Oh, no, you didn't hear that. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, there's a message in that one verse right there. Walk in the Spirit. Be filled with His Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these, listen to this, they don't abide in the same house. I'm going to say it again. They don't abide in the same house. The Word says they are contrary one to the other. You are either full of your flesh or you are full of His Spirit. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. Well, I'm just trying to survive, Pastor. No, you're not. You're losing. How many of you know that? How many of you know that in the kingdom of God there is no surviving? Huh? You are either victorious or you are defeated. That about sums it up right there. You are either victorious or you are either ruled. There's no half and half. There's no riding the fence. Mr. Miyagi told Danielson, walk this side of the road, you're okay. Walk this side of the road, you're okay. Walk down the middle, get squished like grape. I'm telling you something. There's a truth in there. And it hasn't got nothing to do with the karate kid. But you cannot ride the spiritual fence. I've said it for years. I believe it. The Lord gave it to me one day. How long do you ride a fence before you meet a fence post? You ride a fence, you meet a fence post, you're going to fall one way or the other. There's no middle ground. With God, it's all or nothing. Can I tell you, the Lord is anguished at you struggling the way that you are? Why hadn't He come and told me? What do you think I'm doing here? He's telling you. He's telling you here tonight at North Valley Assembly of God Church. He's telling you that His desire is for you to be filled with His Spirit. Why? So that you won't be full of fear. So that you won't be full of doubt and unbelief. So that you won't pray with your fingers crossed, just hoping and praying that God just might answer. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a holy expectation that comes to the life of a believer. Listen to me now. They don't just go in their flesh to anybody and everybody that they think in their mind they want to go to. I'll tell you again, it's not for you to control. It's as the Holy Spirit. You see, it wasn't until after the day of Pentecost came that Peter and John, on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, that they went in and they saw the man sitting outside the gate. But the Bible says Peter, being full of the Holy Ghost. You didn't hear me. Peter didn't just get the thought in his mind, well, I think maybe I'll go over and talk. No. You see, the Spirit was suddenly in control of Peter's life.
And Peter could walk over to that man sitting outside the gate that he had walked past every day prior to that. But he still saw him there and he's still sitting there. But today is different. Why is today different? Because the Holy Ghost is on the premises. And when the Holy Ghost is on the premises, you just don't know what God will have you do. Because He is the most unorthodox. He is the most unorganized in our minds. He is the most weird. He is the most strange thing that ever came into your life. And thank be unto God that He is, because He'll take you out of your natural realm and He'll put you in a supernatural realm, and you'll do things under the power of God that you would have never done in your flesh. And Peter would walk over to him and say, I know you're sitting there and you got your hand stretched out and you're begging for money. But he said, I ain't got any money to give you. And I can just about see the dejection that goes across the man's face. Okay, then what are you doing in front of me? I don't have any silver and I don't have any gold. That right there deals a death blow to every word of faith and to every preacher that preaches that God is all about money and preaches that God wants you to be wealthy and God wants you to be rich. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. God never ever said any such a thing, because Peter walked over to him full of the Holy Ghost and said, silver and gold have I none. That wouldn't fly in today's church. But he said, but what I have, such as I have, I give unto you. You cannot give what you do not have. Do you hear me tonight? You cannot, oh hallelujah, you cannot give what you do not have. And if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, then you cannot be used of God. He didn't just say that. Oh yes, He did. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you cannot be used of God. Such as I have, give I unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice what He said. He didn't say in the name of North Valley. He didn't say in the name of the Assemblies of God. He didn't say in the name of... He didn't say, hey, I'm Pentecostal. Most people say that are lying through their teeth. Because to be a true Pentecostal, you don't just speak in other tongues, but you're filled. Oh, you didn't hear me. Must have came into the wrong Pentecostal church to say that. You're not Pentecostal unless you're full of His Spirit. And when you're full of His Spirit, you will not lift up yourself, but you will lift up Jesus Christ. Later on, Peter would say, men and brethren, why do you look at us as if by our power this man was healed? He said, it's not us. He said, but it's by the power that is in... By the power. Do you know that you cannot know the power that is in His name until you are filled with His Spirit? You can say His name 1,000 times and it will not register with power. But when you are a person who is a believer in Jesus Christ and you are filled with His Spirit, when the name of Jesus comes, all of a sudden there is something that begins to rattle and shake on the inside of you. There is a power that is exuded that is not given at any other time. That when you speak the name of Jesus, that when you say Jesus, hell sits up and pays attention. When the Spirit-filled believer walks into a room, I want you to know every demon and every devil of hell sits up and pays attention. But if you just walk in there because you're saved and because you've spoken in other tongues, you're not hearing me. You're going to walk out and things aren't going to be any different than the way they were when you came in. What do you mean? Doesn't that mean anything? Oh, sure it does on one end. But what are you saying? I'm saying you got to get past being stalled. You got to get past where you stopped. You got to get past the fact that you spoke in other tongues. You've got to get past it. There's a whole room of spirituality that you don't know anything about. But you can if you'll get beyond that door frame and you'll go through and you'll allow the Holy Ghost to take control in you instead of you trying to control Him. And He'll bring you into a realm where the gifts of the Spirit of God flow and where the fruits of the Spirit of God are manifested in your life because you are bearing fruit.
Pastor, how can we do this? Well, first of all, let me tell you, I'm not the filler. I'm not the baptizer. I do not choose whom God uses and whom He doesn't. He said all we had to do was repent and turn. We like to skip over that part. No. He said all we had to do was repent and turn away. You got to turn away from sin. You got to turn away from sin. And that if we will repent and turn our back to sin. But He say, if My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray, seek My face, turn from their wicked ways. Pastor, do you realize you're talking to church people tonight? You better believe I'm aware of who I'm talking to. And I'll tell you again, the way the Word of God tells you, turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I will heal their land. You cannot be filled with His Spirit until you come and repent. And turn your back to your sin. Then our God, who is rich in mercy, Bible says His mercies are new every morning. But not if you're still walking in sin. You've got to turn your back to sin. And then come, and then all you have to do is ask. Hallelujah. Ask. Could you stand to your feet? Don't worry about the food. Most of it's in the refrigerator. We got something more important to take care of right here tonight. How many of us standing here tonight are not filled like we thought we were? Because as I've been preaching to you tonight, the Holy Spirit has already revealed to you some of the things that you're struggling with. And you're struggling with them because you're not filled with His Spirit. But you are filled with those things. Are you tired of struggling? Are you tired of carrying that weight around? Every time you turn around, it crops its head up. I'm telling you, you're not filled with His Spirit. I'm just going to ask you. Come down to the front of this place tonight. In a spirit of repentance. I feel the Holy Ghost. Just come and repent.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Just come and repent. He knows where you are. He knows what you're struggling with.
You don't have to continue to struggle.
Repent. Repent before Him. And then ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. Just ask Him to fill you with His Spirit.
Come on. Don't hold back.
This is not your moment to hold back. Repent before Him. Oh God. Oh God, we're sorry. Lord, we're sorry we've been carrying this dead weight around. Lord, we're sorry that we've been giving in to our feelings and our emotions that have lied to us. For they do not speak the will of God. God, forgive us. Forgive us of every weight. Forgive us of every sin. Forgive us of every moment of doubt. Forgive us for every moment of being afraid. Forgive us for every moment that we let lust rule our minds. Forgive us for every moment that we lied. Forgive us for every moment that we've been greedy. Forgive us. Forgive us for every time we pretended the Spirit of the Lord was with us and it wasn't Him, it was just us. God, forgive us. Forgive us. We have sinned. Would you wash us clean? Would you wash us clean tonight? Wash us in the blood of Calvary. Cleanse us. Empty us right here, right now. Empty us. And then, Lord, we ask that when You've emptied us, You will fill us. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. I want the mind of Christ in me. I want to think His thoughts. I want to walk in His steps. I want to do as He would have me to do. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit, O God. No longer to be ruled by my flesh. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Come on, lay it down. Lay it down right here, right now. Don't carry it any further. Not one step further. Don't carry it any further. Holy Spirit, fill us. Fill us. That when we pray, we can have expectation that You're going to move mountains on our behalf. Fill us. I'll go on and reach out to Him. He's here. I tell you, He's here.